Welcome to the program, A Catholic Catechism. Today's catechism lesson was given in Topeka, Kansas, at St. Helens Catholic Mission. The subject being discussed is the sacrament of confirmation. So get out your pen and your paper for notes, your catechism of the Council of Trent, as well as your Bible. Now pour yourself a cup of coffee or tea and kick back for a relaxing time studying our Catholic faith. In the Catechism of the Council of Trent, we read, quote, "In confirmation is contained the true and proper nature of a sacrament that has always been acknowledged by the Catholic Church." The Catechism goes on to say, "The truth of this doctrine, St. Clement could not confirm in stronger terms than when he says, all should hasten without delay to be born again, that is, baptized unto God, and afterwards to be signed or confirmed by the bishop, that is, to receive the sevenfold grace of the Holy Ghost, for, as has been handed down to us from St. Peter, and as the other apostles taught in obedience to the command of our Lord, he who culpably and voluntarily and not from necessity neglects to receive this sacrament cannot possibly be a perfect Christian. To be perfect or complete Christian, one needs to be sealed at the day of their confirmation with the sevenfold grace of the Holy Ghost." So what is the sevenfold grace of the Holy Ghost, and what is it used for in our Christian life? Well, the sevenfold grace of the Holy Spirit that initially is magnified in us at our confirmation and has unique skills and abilities given by the Holy Spirit to faithful followers of Christ, to serve God for the common benefit of His people, the Church, and for reaching others outside of the Church for Christ. The sevenfold grace, referred to by the Catechism, is described in Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 3, where it mentions wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, and piety, and the fear of the Lord. The sevenfold grace of the Spirit, mentioned in Isaiah, are simply God empowering faithful Christians to do what He has called us to do. The Catholic Church lists them as wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, or godliness, and the fear of the Lord. In our last lesson, we discussed one of the parts of the sevenfold gift of the Holy Ghost called counseling. And we said that, simply put, this gift, as it is called in the Bible, is defined as to give advice or deliberate opinion to another, to exhort, to warn, admonish, or instruct, to recommend. Understand that everyone is given the sevenfold graces at our baptism, but what our confirmation does is it enhances certain ones in our lives and is different for everyone. Romans 12, 4 through 8 says, "For as in one body we have many members, but all the members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, and having different gifts according to the grace that is given us." One of those gifts or graces that is mentioned in the Douay Rheims version of the Bible is carefulness, or, as in other versions, diligence, which in Isaiah 11, 1 through 3, otherwise uses the word fortitude. Now, concerning the grace of fortitude, sometimes called endurance, fortitude is the inward strength to withstand stress to accomplish God's best. Fortitude is associated with the physical stamina required for a race. However, The character quality of fortitude is much deeper than physical stamina. It includes the strength that comes by rejoicing in the reproaches that come as we follow the ways of God. It is described as to undergo hardship, to hold oneself up against, to put up with, to endure with patience. To have fortitude is to tenaciously hold on until a goal is accomplished. Jacob clung to the angel and declared, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." God not only blessed him, but he affirmed, "Thy name shall not be called Jacob, but Israel. For if thou hast been strong against God, how much more shalt thou prevail against men?" Genesis 32, verse 28. So what are we to endure? Well, the following passages explain the types of trials we are to endure. We are to endure hardness. 2 Timothy 2:3. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Not only are we to endure hardness, we are to endure in all things. 2 Timothy 4:5. "But be thou vigilant, endure in all things." And also in 2 Timothy 2:10 it says, "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with heavenly glory." We are to endure persecutions and tribulations. 2 Thessalonians 1:5 says that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which also you suffer. So we are not only to endure hardness, we are to endure in all things. We are to endure persecutions and tribulations. We are also, number four, to endure undeserved suffering. 1 Peter 2:19. "For this is thankworthy, if for conscience towards God a man endure sorrows, suffering wrongfully." We are to endure chastening. Hebrews 12:7. Persevere under discipline. "God dealeth with you as with his sons. For what son is there whom the Father doth not correct?" We are to endure hardness. We are to endure in all things. We are to endure persecutions and tribulations. We are to endure undeserved suffering. We are to endure chastening. And we are to endure, lastly, temptations. James 1:12, which says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he hath been proved, he shall receive a crown of life, which God hath promised to them that love him." James 1:12. So, how do we endure? Well, endurance is based on hope. A runner will endure rigorous, painful training because of the hope that he will win the race. Jesus endured the cross and despised the shame associated with it for the joy of knowing that his death would conquer Satan and bring redemption to mankind for all eternity. The believer's hope is that by enduring trials, he will experience a greater measure of spiritual power in his life, as well as rewards in heaven. So how does truth motivate endurance? Well, truth sets us free from the destructive attitudes and influences that diminish endurance. When trials and temptations come, we are to meet and endure them with the following four responses. Number one, thank God for each trial. We can be thankful for all things because all things come from the hand of God. They are for our benefit and can teach us character. They also, as Romans 8:28 says, work together unto good to such as according to his purpose are called to be saints. Job endured a great affliction, and he understood this important point. He says, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. As it hath pleased the Lord, so is it done. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, we're number one, we are to thank God for each trial. But then number two, this is our response. We are to rejoice in all things. Once we recognize the benefits that God intends through our trials, we can rejoice in them. If we lack wisdom to discern these benefits, we can ask God for it, and He will give it to us. So, how do we meet and endure our trials and temptations? Thank God for each trial. Number two, rejoice in all things. Number three, cry out when necessary. Some situations can or should not be endured and require us to cry out to God for deliverance. Psalms 50, verse 15 says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." And then lastly, we are to overcome by doing good. Romans 12:21 says, "Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good." So let's have a personal evaluation. How strong is your fortification? Do you live as a soldier who is in the most critical spiritual war ever waged, or as a civilian in a time of peace, prosperity, and pleasure? How strong is your fortification? Do you rejoice when rejected by those who do not follow the ways of God? Or do you complain that you have to suffer because of your identification with God and His church? How strong is your fortification? Do you rejoice in being falsely accused and blamed for things you did not do? Or do you become reactionary, defensive, and bitter toward those who question your integrity? How strong is your fortification? Do you accept God's chastening for things you have done wrong? Or do you become discouraged and want to give up on the Christian life? How strong is your fortification? Do you resist temptation and bring every thought into captivity? Or do you easily surrender to the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the mind? I pray that our lesson today on fortification gives you deep thoughts about the gift of fortitude from the Spirit of the Lord. The basic point I want us to get about the gift of fortitude from the Spirit of the Lord is this. God wants us to look to Him for what we cannot do ourselves. Let us pray. Father, I repent of all my sins. Forgive me, Lord. I trust You, Lord. Help me, Your child, as You have helped many. Rest the gift of fortitude on me, so that I can stand up against all evil that tries to weaken me. As Your child, I do not want to be spineless in Your ways. Spinelessness does not glorify You. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.